our young people at school, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. Those are the things that really protect against heart disease, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, many of the other diseases which we're seeing a huge expansion of.
Thank you very much. Briefly, if you would, Jerry Hudson from Hawley in Surrey.
Oh, hi. When I tuned in, talking about the nanny state and stuff, just looking into the future, I'm not Nostradamus, but with the nanny state banning alcohol, tobacco, foods, fatty or otherwise, and dictating to us, basically all to save money on what they're spending on the NHS on treating alcohol and smoking and obesity-related diseases. If you look to the future, if we stop giving up everything that we enjoy and that's bad for us, we'll live till we're 120. The pensionable age will be 90. It's already started rising. We'll all be as miserable as sin. And the money the NHS will be spending on age-related diseases will far outstrip alcohol, smoking, and obesity-related diseases.
So, got you, Jerry Hudson. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Dr. Paul Barker, I can just squeeze this in. I live in Glasgow. I'm from England. I lived in London, spent many holidays in Bordeaux. I've noticed the further south you go, the range and quality of the fruit you buy improves significantly. Fruit here in Glasgow is not very pleasant for most of the year, exceptions being strawberries and raspberries, if they're Scottish in spring. But fruits like nectarines, peaches, mangoes, watermelons are quite disgusting. I've many times felt I'd like eating a Swede. Why can't ripe fruit make it up here? Question. I have no answer, but thank you for all your calls and all your emails. Next week, we're going to be in Brighton, and amongst others on our panel will be the Children's Commissioner for England, Maggie Atkinson. For now, though, have a very good afternoon.
Any Answers was presented by Jonathan Dimbleby and was produced by Lisa Jenkinson. Claire is the golden girl of a close family. She meets Martin and quickly marries him. But then Martin makes a mistake which starts a series of events that brings the family to its knees. The Middle is our play after this.
The poems are a mixture of memories, particularly memories of my father who was a soldier.
A sequence of new poems for Remembrance Day by Andrew Motion.
It is perfectly astonishing and terrifying how bravely the men fight.
And more recent reading in newspapers, interviews with soldiers.
Fright is different indoors. It shows a whole lot more.
And I've collected a lot of material from those various acts of witness and combined them in some cases with my own thoughts.
But what can you do? I just shut my eyes.
On BBC Radio 4, Laurels and Donkeys. Next Friday afternoon at 2:15.
Now on Radio 4, this week's Saturday play, The Middle by Amelia Bullmore.
This is the story of something that happened to me, or something I did. I'm not sure which. I'm not sure which is worse. When I came back to Bristol, Martin's letter was waiting. The envelope was fat. He'd gone over the address twice. I knew without opening it the effort he'd made. I didn't open it for 2 days.
Dear Claire, I don't know if this will reach you. I don't know if you'll read it if it does. It's been a year since I saw you. I want to give an account of what happened. I've said sorry, but the more time passes, the clearer I am about what I'm sorry for. I have to go back to the start, to my last day fixing your roof. It was boiling. You've been passing me cold drinks through the window for days. I've been climbing in and out of your flat to use your toilet. I wanted to ask you out, but I couldn't do it. Then, on that last day, you climbed out to see the new tiles and you sat next to me on the parapet and stared at the view. And then you turned back to me and...
We kissed.
We kissed. I didn't know.
You must have.
No.
I kept bringing you drinks.
But you're a nice person. And it's hot. You'd have done it for anyone.
Not ice and straws.
You'd never pop your head out last summer. Rain non-stop.
I didn't live here.
I wasn't free.
And then you said, meant to be. When we got married, everyone said, what's the hurry? And we said, that's the wrong question. The right question is, why delay? We didn't get married too quickly.
We did. Everything could have been avoided if we'd taken more time.
Meant to be was right. Us meeting, us falling in love, the wedding. I didn't just fall for you. It was all of you. I remember when it happened. That day at Justine's.
Okay, well, thank you all for coming. This is a big day for me. I realised a few months ago that the reason that I wasn't a totally together person was because I didn't have a utility room. Now I have, and I will be.
Yeah, right.
Never.
Yes, the ever-present support of my sons. It inhibits me sometimes being put on this pedestal. Carl, this item is a laundry basket. Owen, this is called detergent. But I bear no grudges, not even towards Mick, who calls it my futility room, because he paid for it.
Through the nose.
Well, I am grateful, dear. So, Mum, could you pass the scissors, please?
These bacon rhymes stuck on them, Justine.
That's the kind of thing that won't happen, thank you, from now on. So, let's raise our glasses and snip the ribbon and officially open the utility room.
And we all crammed in that little extension. You and me, your mum, Owen and Carl and Nicky poking about, looking at sockets and the new window. And I hadn't eaten anything, and I whispered to you that I was starving, and you turned to Nicky and said...
Is she going to feed us?
Oh, I don't know.
Mum, is she going to feed us?
Mum, is Justine going to feed us?
I don't know, Nicky.
Justine?
Yes?
Are you going to feed us?
Am I meant to?
Oh, God.
Martin, are you hungry?
Look at him. He's starving.
Shit. Okay, I'll look in the freezer. I'm going to look in the freezer right now.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Was that really...
Don't be silly, Martin.
Oh, we're all starving.
And I thought, if this happened in my family... Well, none of it would happen in my family, but if it did, nobody would say anything. Anyway, we all made that meal. Everyone got given something to chop or peel. I was floundering around trying to lay the table, and what I noticed was how often I was touched. A hand on my shoulder, a friendly shove if I was in the way. And I realised that you all touched each other all the time, and I was included, and I thought, I'm in love with this family.
Well, I remember the day too, and there were warning signs. We just chose not to see them.
So, Martin, what's the most surprising thing you've discovered about my sister Claire? That is fit for public consumption.
Oh. She picks up other people's rubbish. We were on a walk and someone had left their old picnic in a carrier bag, and Claire carried it all round our walk and back to the car park and binned it. And I said she was a model citizen, and she said...
No, don't. They'll have a field day.
All right, let's put it this way, then. Who here would do that?
It would depend on how big the bag was and how far I had to walk.
I think I might try to bury it, Marty.
Nicky?
Nobody likes litter.
No, but what Claire said was partly about that, and partly... Claire, you say.
Well, it sounds stupid, but I think that what I do is... Scene. So when I see the bag of rubbish, it's almost like I see me and the bag from above. And I think the right thing to do is for this woman to remove this bag.
And what would happen if you didn't? Thunder and lightning?
No!
I don't believe in God.
Well, I don't believe in church God.
I wish I believed in something.
Justine, I'll see you later.
Is it the quality of debate that drives you out, dear?
No, it's the arrangement to meet a colleague I told you about earlier.
Oh. Would you get another bottle while you're up?
Bye, boys.
See you.
Bye, Dad.
Bye.
Bye.
Who do you think sees you? Or what?
I don't know. It's just a feeling. I told you this would happen.
You see, Marty, for me, I'm only half Catholic and the other half Jewish, so I just make it up as I go along.
Maybe Dad.
What? From heaven?
Why not?
Martin, do you fancy a geek about?
Yeah.
Men running about. I'll come and look.
Nicky, you fancy a game of chess?
You got better at losing.
Why don't you go back to India and catch something amoebic?
Come on. You know you've got the boring sister, don't you?
Well, that's why I'm so bored, isn't it?
And the next time I saw Justine...
We just dragged the new table home. I just made tea with our shiny wedding kettle. Hello?
It's Justine.
Come in.
Nobody's ever clung to me as she did.
What is it, Justine?
Can I have a drink, please?
Yes, yes, of course.
Oh, dropping ash.
Use this. She stayed clinging to you like you were a tree.
Mix left me. He phoned to say he's been seeing this woman at work for a year and he wants to make a go of it. It's so predictable. Middle-aged man, fairly successful. Teenage son's wife not unimpressed anymore. First whiff of young flesh and he's off. It's all bullshit. All that crap he bored me under the table with about how he loved my mind and my spirit is just bullshit, because actually what it boils down to with a man is what he sticks it into. And the reason he doesn't want to stick it into me anymore is the old body is not quite what it was. A bit too saggy for him, a bit too scarred. Had a couple of babies cut out of that belly, you see. His babies. So he's after fresh meat. There is no equality. They just go when they've had enough and start all over again, and the enlightened ones are the worst. You're better off with a caveman than a socialist. How could he? How could he? How could he do it to me?
It was shocking, not just how she was, but how things can break.
I hated the ugliness. I wish she hadn't tainted our new nest with it. I was too ashamed to tell you that.
And so you all tried to help Justine put herself back together, which is why in the spring we hired the cottage. You remember the night we got there? The dinner we cooked?
I don't want to remember.
Speak for yourself.
This tablecloth's nice. Did you bring it?
Might have done.
Well, what else did you bring? Hmm? Come on. Candles.
Yeah?
Hey!
See, I'm a laughing stock. No.
I'm just jealous because I'm such a slattern. If I'd gone to the old tablecloth, perhaps I'd still have a husband.
You're not a laughing stock, Claire. You're just really satisfying to stand up.
Why?
Because you're so Clary, isn't you?
What does that mean?
It means you do things in a particular Clary way.
What do I do? I don't know what I do.
Well, that is the essence of clariness. You don't think about it, you don't look into it, you just carry on claring.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
That's a gift. People spend their lives trying not to overanalyze. You've got it for free.
Yes. Is she being nasty or nice?
Nasty.
Carl and Owen went out to get more logs. They came back in and said there was a cat out there and Nicky went off to see it.
You're smoking too much chicken. You'll get cancer.
You nagging me will give me cancer.
Oh, they're so rude to me, Marty.
Mum, if we didn't use a firm hand, you'd eat us up.
What does that mean? Eat you up. Mm-hmm. Marty, is there any more white wine?
I'll go and look.
I love that man.
And when I went into the kitchen, Nicky was crouching down, giving this cat a saucer of milk. And her blouse had gaped open, and I could see her breast.
What?
Her blouse had gaped open, and I could see her breast. Very clearly, because the blouse was dark and she...
Doesn't wear a bra. No, I don't want to read this. Hang on. I came into the kitchen. I saw her with the cat.
And Nicky looked at me and gave me this smile, and I didn't know what it was. I thought she knew I could see her breast and she wanted me to like what I saw. Then I thought she was just a girl pleased to have found a cat. And then I went back to my first thought. And then you came in and said we needed red wine too. I was standing by the fridge and I looked at you smiling at Nikki and the cat and I saw she'd moved a tiny bit and the gape in her blouse was closed. By chance? By design? I had no idea.
My God.
And the next day was my birthday.
And we decided not to tell anyone because it was Justine's weekend. We made love. I gave you a present. We all went walking on the cliffs.
And it felt special that it was a secret between us, and you gave me my watch, which I still wear every day. And we made love. And then we went up on the cliffs.
When I'm happy, just reminds me how sad I am.
Just look at the beauty, chicken. Concentrate on that.
I can't, Mum. That's what I'm saying. It hurts to see something beautiful because everything else is shit.
Oh, Justine.
I feel like I'm bleeding inside.
Come.
And you and your mum held on to her, and the three of you walked on along the path in a huddle, and the rest of us hung back to give you space. Owen and Carl went clambering up on some rocks.
They were a really bad combination. First time Mick came round to pick her up, on his motorbike, obviously, Marxism Today conspicuously displayed. I thought, no. And Justine was like, oh, Mick, teach me hard. Mick was lapping it up. Horrible. We're very critical of men who dare enter the fold.
Well, I dread to think what you thought of me.
You know what I think of you.
No, I don't.
I'm really attracted to you. People don't know how to take me when they meet me. Did you think I was a bitch?
God, no. I thought you were glorious.
But now you know better.
No. Still think it. You are glorious.
God almighty, why did you say that?
The reason I'm telling you this, Claire, is I can't do more harm than I've done. I want to lay it bare is all. I've asked myself 1,000 times why I said that to Nikki. Lunchtime Guinness comes into it, but it doesn't excuse it. The fact is, it was true. It's what I felt at the time. And the second I said it, I felt sick. I was full of panic all evening.
I didn't notice a thing.
Next morning, after breakfast...
Where does the rubbish go, Claire?
There's a sort of cupboard round the side.
Martin, can you give us a hand with this rubbish?
Sure.
And as soon as we were out of sight, in that shady bit round the side of the cottage...
I can't believe what I said. I feel terrible. I love Claire. I'd never do anything to hurt her.
You told the truth. That's fine.
No, it isn't.
We're attracted. Big deal. It's not our fault. Not a crime, and it can't do any harm, because we're not going to do anything about it.
It was wrong to say it.
It was there. We just acknowledged it. That's fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're very together.
I know it's got no bearing on what you feel for Claire. Get a grip.
And I thought, she's right. Nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Then... on the way home, you said...
Oh, no. What do you think about having Nikki to stay?
When?
She's dreading going back to Justine's because it's all such a drama and I thought, we've got to save her bed.
Be a bit tight, wouldn't it?
Won't be for long. She just needs to get some cash together so she can rent somewhere.
That could take months.
She won't be around for months. She'll be off again. She might come and work with me for a bit. Do you want one?
No, Tom.
You asked me about it again. It was natural to want to offer your sister a bed. I couldn't think of how to stop it without seeming weird. I couldn't believe Nikki would accept. I think she'd been staying for about a week when you had to go to London for the night. I didn't want to be alone in the flat with her. I went for a drink with Neville. We stayed at the Fox till closing time. I crept in, hoping she'd be asleep.
How's it going?
Fine. Tired.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah. Good night.
It's okay, isn't it? Me staying here, you'd say if it wasn't.
How exactly would I say that? I'm not fine. You know how I feel about you. You know I don't want to, and I'm trying to stop it. I can't, because you're here.
I had no idea. You've been completely normal.
Yes, because all I do is try to be normal. I fight not to look at you. Then I make myself look at you, because not looking at you at all is not normal. I'm terrified Claire's going to see what's happening to me.
Are you in love with me?
I don't know.
Do you fantasize about me? I fantasize about you. The truth is, we've already done it in our heads.
I don't want to do it.
You do. You don't want to do it. You want it to go away.
Yes.
But it won't. Get rid of it. Spend it.
She raised her arms like a kid. You know, help me off with this T-shirt. And I did.
You idiot.
We slept together on the sofa bed, Claire. I woke up early and she was gone. I went to the bathroom and I threw up. I put the sofa back together and showered and went to work. I felt terrible. Hello?
Hey, baby, I'm back.
At work?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back.
Me too. See you at home.
Yep. Bye. I thought it would be you. I thought you'd forgotten something. Hello?
Are you cured?
What?
Are you cured?
Where did you go?
I always get up early. I walked into work.
Is that where you are now?
Yeah.
You're calling from work?
Yeah.
I could picture your work. I could picture where Nikki sat answering the phone, and I could picture you a few feet away at your desk. I put the phone down. When you got home from work, you went for a run. Nikki was in the bathroom. Nikki, I need to talk to you.
I'm in the bath.
Get out of it. I can't believe you called from work, practically sitting next to Claire.
She'd gone to the tea room.
I think it was wrong.
Sleeping with your wife's sister's wrong. What's the big deal about a phone call? That's completely hypocritical.
I'm just shocked you took that risk.
Listen, don't have a go at me just because you can't handle what you've done.
I'm not.
You are.
I don't think you should stay here.
Are you chucking me out?
No.
I'll go when I've found a place. But I'm not going back to Justine's. Okay?
The next day was the day that I fell. I told you I trod on rotten batons, but I never said why. There was a dead rat. I hadn't seen it because there was so much dust clouding up when I was stripping the felt off the roof. The stench hit me first, and then I saw this thing with maggots in its eye, and it seemed exactly what I should find. Something rotten. I stepped back without thinking. You drove me to A&E in the pickup. On the way home, we didn't say much.
I was thinking about how you could have died. I thought you were thinking the same.
I adore you.
I adore you.
I'm going to see my folks.
Wow.
It's crap not to.
They'll be thrilled.
Don't know about that.
Well, they'll be amazed.
It'll be anyone's guess what they're feeling, as usual. But I want to see them.
Go, you must go.
I went and stayed with my folks so you wouldn't have to see me. So I wouldn't have to see you expecting good in me. I prayed while I was at home. I knelt by my old bed in my old room and prayed not to lose you. I was glad my room was cold and that we spent our evening saying nothing in front of the telly.
I couldn't have stood to be comfortable. And when I got back to Bristol, Nicky had moved out, and we were fine. Everything was fine until Christmas, your mum's party.
On the little table, chicken. Justin, stick the plant on the side.
We had Mama.
So Marty's got space.
Oh, smells gorgeous.
A lot of cinnamon, a lot of cloves. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Ow, Mom, you just stood on my hand.
Well, it's a very small room, Owen, and you're taking up too much space.
Get sipping, everybody.
Good, Miss.
Mum! I'll end up in hospital!
Like that, I'd get looked after.
You do get looked after.
Boys, you should water this down. Did you put brandy in it?
It's fine.
It's gone straight to my toes.
Oh, that'll be Nicky. Mm.
Yes?
One part brandy, two parts wine.
God help us. Drink.
I really don't.
Let's keep the heat in. Oh.
Say she was bringing anyone.
Hi!
Nikki!
Hi.
Hi!
This is Ed. Ed, this is my whole family.
Hi. Hello, whole family.
Hello.
Hi.
And while we were all eating, sat on the floor and perched on things.
How do you know Nikki, Ed?
Well, I don't. We met today.
No.
Yeah.
We live in the same building. I've seen her around. I'd noticed her, obviously. But we didn't get chatting till this morning. I've done a lot of travelling too, so we had a lot in common. We drank some tea at Nicky's, and then we drank some tea at mine, and we ended up hanging out for the whole day.
Typical Nicky. He could be an axe murderer.
I actually am. And there's not many of us about. Most of us got trapped in urban myths in the 80s.
I let you off then, because at least you're a funny one.
That's how life should be, isn't it? You get chatting to someone in the morning, you make a connection, and you end up having a party with the whole family. All in the space of a day. Are these poppy seeds?
Yes.
Awesome. You are a great cook, Luca.
Well, thank you, Ed. Have some more.
He was such a tosser.
He wasn't. He was confident, that's all.
I don't drink anymore, Claire. Drink can't take the blame for anything. But everything I take the blame for, I did with the drink in me. It doesn't bring the truth out either. It just makes passing truths, things that would die in a day if left alone, feel like things you have to act on. It seemed to me, three mulled wines down, that Nicky had brought Ed, who she clearly slept with between cups of tea, for sport, to make me jealous. Which she knew I had no right to feel and no outlet for. But because I'm a fool, I found one.
Now, all your presents are from Scope, but I do go through the bags as soon as people drop things off, so this really is the cat's cream.
Thanks, Gran.
It might not look very exotic, but it's Scotch House and the colour brings your eyes out.
Oh, I like it.
Nicky. We've got a lot of throws in. Would you like some to throw over furniture that's a bit grotty?
No, thanks.
I thought you said your flat was a bit grotty.
It's a good flat, actually. Mm. Nice feel to it.
No, I won't be there long. The only thing I'm going to do is shelves.
Do you know how to?
I'll give it a go.
Martin can do shelves.
Well, I want to do my own shelves.
They're really hard.
Martin's too busy fixing roofs, isn't he?
I've got a mate who's a carpenter.
Is he expensive?
No.
Give me his number, then.
I wrote Neville's number down.
You could definitely do it yourself, Nicky. You've got the right kind of mind.
Mm.
And then I wrote, what are you playing at? And then I passed it over.
I could do with a carpenter.
Justine opened it and read it.
Oh, who's had all the caramels?
Mum, she only leaves the coffee creams.
I've had one caramel, Carl. One.
Justine passed the note on to Nicky. Didn't look at me. Nicky glanced at the note and put it in her pocket. They washed up together later. Justine made sure it was just the two of them. I don't know what they said.
No, and we'll never know, because one of them's gone and one of them's dead.
Nicky sent me a text later. Crisis averted. You are lucky. Whatever they said in your mum's kitchen, I reckon Nicky came out of it squeaky clean and I didn't. Because when we helped Justine move house...
I saw it. I said so.
Why was Justine being such a cow to you?
Was she?
Yeah.
Well, she was up and down. She always is.
No, she was being specifically nasty to you.
I didn't get that.
Come on, everything you said, she knocked flat. You must have noticed.
No. Like I said, I didn't.
That's the moment I knew something was wrong.
I should have told you everything then. I thought you'd bring it up again. Then, on the Saturday, when I got back to the flat.
What about before that? What about what happened to me before you got back? Yes, it was Saturday. It was raining. She'd come round. She was lying on the floor with a magazine. Can I ask you something?
Sure.
It's about Martin. You like him, don't you?
Yeah.
This is mad, right? But I'm asking you because I know you'll be straight with me. You will, won't you?
Always.
Do you think he's decent?
What do you mean?
There's something going on with him and Justine.
What?
You know we helped her move last weekend? Well, she was foul to Martin, foul. And I asked him about it on the way home and he said he hadn't noticed. He could not have noticed. And I looked at him and I thought, you're lying. I went cold. I can't stop thinking about it. He must have known why she was being foul to him and couldn't say. Why could it be that he couldn't say? And then I thought about how she was with him and I thought it was like... she was like a woman scorned. And I thought, oh my God, has she come on to him? And he's turned her down. Has he made a pass at her? Maybe he slept with her. And that's mad. I feel mad, but my instinct tells me something's going on.
You're not mad.
I feel it.
You're right.
I'm right.
There's nothing going on between Martin and Justine. She's pissed off with him because she thinks there's something going on between him and me. There isn't, but we slept together once.
That's not true, is it?
It is, Claire.
That's when you came back.
When I walked in the door, you looked like you'd never seen me before.
Martin, Nikki says you slept with her.
Claire.
Did you?
It's the worst thing I've ever done.
You two slept with each other?
It was a massive mistake.
Mistake?
I've never stopped loving you.
When?
Why did you tell her?
Because she knew something was up.
I didn't want to hurt you. You said you'd never say.
My loyalty was always going to be with her.
Why did you sleep with him?
He had a fixation about me. I thought it would take the heat off.
No!
No what?
For God's sake, I'm here!
Claire, it's totally over.
Just go, both of you.
No, please let me try and explain.
No, go!
Please!
Go!
Claire, please let me speak to you soon.
Nikki was out like a shot. I chased her out into the street.
Why did you tell her?
I just told you.
Why did you tell her it was just me?
Everything I said was true.
Why say anything? It was dead and buried.
Well, why did you write that stupid note then?
Because I was drunk.
Well, that's why she knows. Justine's not stupid. I told her there was nothing between us, and then she said, well, then why did he write a note like he has a claim on you? I said, I don't know. Maybe you fancied me. So she was a bitch next time you saw her, and Claire noticed, and you denied it. That's stupid.
But why did you tell Claire?
Because she knew something was up, and she needed to know her instincts were right.
You're a freak.
But then why did you get your knickers in such a twist about me?
She stormed off. I got in the pickup. I didn't know what to do. I looked back at the flat. All the windows were lit up except ours. I was too ashamed to go back in.
Luca.
I don't want you here.
Please. I love Claire. I love you. Please.
You had my best daughter. You let your head get turned by a baby. Nikki has no idea. You're a fool.
I know.
You'll never be happy again. You have to go. Claire's on her way.
Please let me speak to her, please.
She doesn't want to speak to you, Martin. None of us do.
I drove around. I don't know how long for. Then I drove to Justine's. Owen and Carl were walking down the street on their way home.
Martin! Have you come to watch the footy with us?
No, I'll come see you, Mum.
Sort out your priorities, man. Right. Keys. Oh, I hate this key.
Do you want to go to bed, will she?
She usually falls asleep in the bath first.
Wakes up like a prune. After you. Mum!
It's a nice smell.
Get the beers going on, I'll flush her out. Mum, get your teeth in. Martin's here.
What's up?
Carl?
Justine? Justine?
Her room was still full of boxes from moving. She was lying on top of the covers in her clothes. Bottles on the bedside table. Vodka. Painkillers. Something prescription.
Martin? What's going on?
I phoned the ambulance. I phoned your mum. She told me not to come to the hospital.
Well, you were well out of it. They left us alone with Justine, so we could say goodbye to her. They took us down in the lift. There were lots of people milling about. Nikki started to cry. It sounded weird, like rusty pipes. I shoved her and she fell onto this trolley. I kicked her.
You don't
do that with your sister's husband!
Yeah. You don't do that!
Enough! Get away from your sister!
You know what she did! She...
Justine is dead! This is not the time. Have you got control of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Up you go. Nikki, come.
I'm sorry.
I want to go home.
We need to be together.
I don't want to be with her.
So you go home and Martin is there. What then? Come on, Nikki. Come on. Come on, Richard. Come.
So we went back to Mum's, the three of us. Mum put antiseptic on Nikki's cuts.
Do you want me to do your lip, Claire? Do you want me to clean your lip?
No, thank you.
I tried to phone you at your mum's.
Hello?
Claire, it's me.
Is it Martin?
I don't know what to say. It's just... unbelievable. I am so sorry. Darling, please speak to me. Please.
I didn't know what to do.
None of us did. The three of us just knotted together and cried till we were empty. Next morning, Mum appeared, washed and dressed, and took the keys from my coat. She was going to collect a few things from the flat, she said. I mustn't be on my own. I should stay for a bit. I stayed for 3 months.
I drove home to my folks. I don't know anything after that, until the zoo.
What happened after that was I fell apart in 3 stages. First was the zombie phase. I slept walked through the funeral. I went back to work. I ate. I even read books. One day at work, I was telling a group of Americans about the suspension bridge and I couldn't think of the word tide. So I just walked away. It took me a long time to walk home because I didn't trust the green man. I couldn't cross the road. Anyway, work said don't come in for a while, so for a week or two I lay on Mum's sofa. She was very sweet. She chopped up fruit for me and brushed my hair. Then, one afternoon...
Mum? Mum?
What is it?
I killed Justine.
How did you?
I mocked her.
When?
I knew she was having a bad time. I rubbed her nose in it.
In what?
How happy I was. I knew she and Mick were in trouble, but I was just so full of it. You know, my life's brilliant, yours is shit.
You said that?
I didn't have to. I knew she had this stupid idea that I was the lucky one or whatever. And I always tried not to give her any reason to think that, but when I actually did feel truly lucky with Martin, I didn't play it down. I flaunted it, even though I knew she was having a shit time, and that's just extremely cruel.
I don't understand what you did.
I just told you.
That's it?
I was extremely cruel.
Claire, Justine was unhappy. She wasn't a happy baby. She wasn't a happy adult. To the pips in the middle, she was not happy.
Then why didn't she kill herself ages ago? She was in a bad way all this year and I knew it and I didn't phone her enough. I didn't see her enough.
And when I did, I just banged on about how great my life was, and that's what killed her. So, Mum took me to her GP. He prescribed something and I resumed my place on Mum's sofa. I just slept. I knew I should get off the sofa, but it was impossible. Spring came. Nikki was round one morning. They thought I was asleep.
How's it going?
Very frustrating. I had this lovely idea to go to Ashton Court to see the Daffs, but she won't.
Oh, she's depressed.
Yes, I know. But she just sleeps or sits there like a pudding.
That's what depression is.
I've been too indulgent. I'm going to say to her, look, you're not disabled. You've got to make an effort. Something like that. She's in a rut. She needs to choose to get better.
Well, I don't think it works like that.
Well, why don't we go and see the Duffs anyway? I need a break.
So they went out and I fell asleep. The doorbell woke me. I wasn't going to answer it, but it kept on ringing, so I hauled myself up and looked through the spy hole, and your mum was standing there. Your mum had travelled on her own 6 hours on a train to see me. And she... Oh, she looks so like you. I made us tea. We hardly said anything. All she said was that you told her what had happened and that she had no words for how bad she thought it was. She said she knew there was nothing she could do, but she just wanted to see me. I've only met your mum 5 times, you know, and conversations never really flowed, but it was just so good, somehow, to sit with her for 30 minutes. I walked her to the station. I put her on a train. I walked back to Mum's. I could cross roads again. Mum was hanging over the walkway when I got back. She was amazed I was up. She was thrilled to see me outdoors. She thought I was cured. In fact, I just entered the detective phase.
Nikki!
Hello, mate. What are you doing here?
Come to see you. I thought I'd walk you home.
Good to see you out and about.
Where were you when Justine died?
Oh. Walking. I was walking. I left your flat and I just kept walking around. And then Mum phoned with the news.
Right. Why did you sleep with Martin?
No, I told you.
Tell me again.
Well, Claire, we've done all this.
I need you to. We walked up to the herb garden at St. Peter's. There was one old man there, sleeping.
It started at your wedding.
But that's where you met him. You flew back the day before.
That's what I'm saying. I knew, at your wedding, he fancied me.
What did he do?
He didn't. We introduced ourselves. We danced for about 2 minutes, and he said he really liked my perfume. All completely normal stuff, except he looked at me in a really intense way, and I thought, oh, God, he really fancies me.
Did you fancy him?
No.
Never?
No.
So then what, after the wedding?
Nothing, really, till I stayed with you.
Why did you stay?
I had no idea what I was dealing with.
What were you dealing with?
Obsession. He couldn't stop thinking about me. He couldn't look me in the eye. He was fantasizing about me constantly.
Did he say that?
Yes. When you had to go to London, he just blurted out all this stuff about how he was falling to bits because of me, and it was really shocking. He just lost it. And I thought, Claire's going to suss this any day now. I've got to do something.
I'll sleep with him.
Listen, play fair. You ask me, I'm telling you. Of course I tried to talk him out of it, but obsession isn't logical. It's a crazy interest in someone based on a crazy idea of them. Martin was sexually fixated on a fantasy version of me, right? So I thought maybe If I called his bluff, satisfied the sex thing and exploded the fantasy, it would be over. Claire, I may have done the wrong thing, but you have to understand the circumstances that made me do it.
You did do the wrong thing. At the wedding?
Yeah.
I decided you weren't worth trying to understand. The only thing I needed to understand was Justine. I thought, if I didn't do everything I could to find out what had happened to her that night, it would be an act of neglect. Morning, Owen.
It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Sorry to wake you up. Can I come in?
Okay.
Owen went off to make tea and I went into the lounge. When he came back, I was crawling about on all fours.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for a reason. I don't know why she killed herself. Do you?
No.
I went through everything in the lounge. Carl and Owen sat on the couch trying to watch telly while this mad aunt flicked through books and looked under things. Mick came in with Donna. They just got out of bed. Donna looked like Justine used to a long time ago.
Hello.
Hello.
Claire, this is Donna.
Right.
Claire's Justin's sister.
Oh. Hi. Nice to meet you.
What are you doing, Claire?
Mick bundled me into the kitchen for a discreet chat.
You're upsetting them.
I'm trying to do what no one else seems interested in, which is find out who did it.
She did it.
Why?
Because she was unhappy.
But why that night?
I don't know.
When was the last time you spoke to her?
Are you blaming me?
Something made her do it.
I spoke to her the Tuesday before to tell her what time I was bringing the boys back. 5 days before.
Was it a bad phone call?
It was fine. Very short.
You swear you didn't speak to her the night she died?
Claire, you know all this. The only people who saw her that night were Carl and Owen and Martin. And she was dead when Martin saw her.
Mick booted me out. I found myself standing in the street, shaking with energy. I walked to our flat. I hadn't been there since Justine died. The big geranium by the bins was dead. I lifted the pot. I don't know why. I never imagined it would still be there, but it was. So I let myself in. I couldn't really stand up when I got inside, so I sat on the floor, staring at things. Coats, candles, newspapers, photos. I didn't think anything in the flat would still be alive.
Hello, this is Martin and Claire's phone. Please leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thanks. Bye.
Hello, Claire. Are you there? Please pick up. Okay, well, I'll keep on trying. I'll phone again in a couple of weeks. Okay.
Hello?
Claire?
I need to see you. So that brings us up to the zoo.
I think you chose the zoo because you don't like zoos. You got me to meet you somewhere there could be no chance of closeness. You didn't seem to see me.
I saw the eczema on your hands was bad. I saw your hair was grey.
Thank you so much for this.
Right, some ground rules. I'm not interested in you or me or us, okay?
I need to talk to you.
I'm not interested.
Can I talk about what I did?
No.
Can I talk about Nikki?
No, the only thing I want from you is what happened that night at Justine's, okay?
Okay.
Tell me everything.
I drove to Justine's.
Why?
To tell her how wrong I knew I was. To tell her how much I loved her.
We're not talking about that. Where did you see Carl and Owen?
Just outside the house. Carl was fiddling about with the key. I was feeling sick. I was wondering what I was going to say to Justine. Carl opened the door. All the lights were on. It was very warm. And... Owen went into the kitchen to get a beer. Carl went upstairs.
What didn't you say just then?
I remember something I can't tell you.
Why?
Well, you told me I couldn't talk about it.
Okay, carry on.
This is killing me.
Good.
Carl went upstairs.
No, do tell me.
Well, the thing I didn't say.
Yes.
I thought Nicky was there.
Why?
Because when I walked in the house, I thought I smelt that jasmine she wears. Where are you going? Claire!
Leave me alone! I mean it!
That was a year ago. I don't know what happened after.
Well, I entered the third phase. The phase where I sacked everyone.
Got it.
What did you say to her?
Claire?
I know you were there. What did you say to Justine?
Nothing.
You were there!
Romy, do me a favour. Get these to table eight. Oh. Here. Claire, come through here.
She took me out the back. Big bins. Empty oil cans. Why did you lie?
I thought people might get the wrong idea.
That you'd said something that made her kill herself.
I thought people might think that, yes.
I think that.
I didn't.
What did you say?
Nothing.
Whatever it was, you got scared enough when she killed herself to keep your mouth shut that you were there.
I didn't say anything bad.
Because you knew you made her do it.
She did it. You can't kill someone by saying something. I didn't say anything.
Every time you open your mouth, a lie comes out.
I always tell the truth.
Everything comes out with you in the right.
Who told you I slept with Martin, for God's sake?
But you said you didn't want to. You've never done anything you didn't want to.
If it makes you feel good to attack.
Tell the truth, please. What did you say?
Nothing.
The thing is, Martin, I know this is obvious, but it's shocking to me all the same. If only one person holds a secret, and if that person has the strength to never reveal it, that's it. Nobody can ever get to it. I know I'm right, and I'll never have proof. 10 days after the row in the yard, Nicky left for Cuba. So that left Mum and me. We went through Justine's clothes and put them in bin bags. We put Nicky's things in boxes to go into the loft.
Can I put this lamp in?
I think it'll get squashed. You've got space, haven't you?
I think you've got more.
Stick it in your own box.
Well, there's nothing like packing to cause a disagreement. I remember a terrible row with Victor when we moved to number 12.
I don't remember you and Dad rowing.
He wasn't really the rowing kind, more of a stewer. Like you. Used to drive me mad he wouldn't have a good old ding-dong work, you know. Oh, we were so different.
It worked, though, didn't it?
Yes. I don't suppose we'd be together if he'd lived.
Don't you?
No. I liked him very much, and we were physically good, but it wasn't great love.
I thought it was.
I don't think many marriages are chicken.
You always gave the impression it was.
No. He thought I was too bossy. I found him a bit floppy. He was melancholy. I think Justine got it from him.
Why did you give us the wrong impression?
I just said what was best for you to hear.
So why are you telling me something different now?
Because I think it will help you accept the failure of your marriage.
So I drove up to see Dad. I don't know why people visit graves. It's not where the person is. Dad's was a mess. I had to push all this long grass down to read it. Victor Dickinson, 1937 to 1985. Beloved husband of Luca. Beloved father of Justine, Claire and Nicola. The names didn't seem to go together. Mum?
Yes?
I won't be here for Christmas. I'm going away.
Where?
I want to be on my own for a bit.
You're not well enough.
I think I am.
Wait till the spring.
Mum, I'm going.
You don't know where or you won't say?
Both.
You can't. I never know where Nikki is, but I'm used to that. My first child is dead. You can't leave your family.
I can, because it's a bad one. Sorry, I mean, it's a bad one for me. It's not right. I'm nothing like you or Nikki.
What are me and Nikki like?
Why did you let her get away with sleeping with Martin?
She suffered enough. We all did.
She did half the wrong.
She's a baby.
She's not. You don't know what she's like.
Of course I do.
She was at Justine's the night she died.
I know. She told me.
I think she said terrible things to her.
It's possible.
How can you stand her?
She's my child. I stick by her.
How can you?
My family's getting smaller all the time. I'd be stupid to shrink it on purpose.
You were happy to chuck Martin out.
He's not my child.
You loved him.
And then I stopped.
How? I don't know how you do that.
Perhaps you should try.
How can you be so tough? You know, even when Justine
What is wrong
herself?
With tough? My God, I come to this country when I am 18 with one bag. I don't know anyone. I have to get a job. I have to learn English. I have to not be too foreign. I didn't like England. I don't like it now, but I can do it. I can talk to anyone. All my life has been like this. Up, down, up, down. And every time there's been a change, I just adapted myself. I just got on with it. You have to be tough to do that. You wouldn't be here if I wasn't tough, so please tell me what is wrong with tough.
I don't think it's the answer. For me. So I did go away. I went to France. I cleaned holiday homes. I don't know what I expected when I got back. I didn't expect to be reading this.
You must have gone away. I drove by the flat once and other people were in it. Claire, this is my apology. This is my shame. The sex isn't the worst thing I did. The unforgivable thing is I thought, briefly, that Nikki was better than you. Cleverer. More exciting. More like me. There is more to be prized in you, Claire, than anyone else I know. That you once thought you and me were meant to be is the single good thing I hold on to. I hope you're well. I have no doubt you're loved. I won't trouble you again. Martin.
This is the story of something I did. Or something that happened to me. I'm not sure which. I'm not sure which is worse.
Hello?
I got your letter.
Middle by Amelia Bullmore. Claire was played by Emma Cunniff and Martin by Ben Miles. Justin was played by Eve Matheson, Nikki by Anna Madeley, and Luca by Paola Dionisotti. Owen was played by Baxter Willis, Carl by Nigel Pilkington, Mick by John Biggins, Ed Piers Wayner, and Donna Melissa Advani. The Middle was directed by Mary Peat.
Thank you.
This is BBC Radio 4, where in a minute, Frances Fifield and her team of musical sleuths will be at the British Library looking at the pages of Handel's Fireworks Suite. The first performance was the most lavish ever seen, as we'll hear in Tales from the Stave. That's after a look ahead to 4 o'clock from Jane Garvey.
On Weekend Woman's Hour this afternoon at 4, the sitar player Anushka Shankar on how she dared to follow her father Ravi into the family business.
I do like a challenge. I think it was simultaneously terrifying and seductive because with him being the best in the world at it, it wasn't just the pressure in which that was affected, it was also being around such an amazing musician where I was hearing this amazing music every day and growing to love it.
Anushka Shankar, just one of the guests on Weekend Woman's Hour this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
And that's here on BBC Radio 4, where now it's time for Frances Fifield and her guests to examine another music manuscript and discover its secrets in Tales from the Stave. To get you in the mood for Bonfire Night, they're looking at Handel's Fireworks Suite.
The peace is signed between us, France and Holland, but does not give the least joy. The stocks do not rise, and the merchants are unsatisfied. In short, there has not been the least symptom of public rejoicing. But the government is to give a magnificent firework.
The opening of Handel's music for the Royal Fireworks was supposed to be a blast. When this music was composed in 1749, at the request of King George II's government, the idea was to placate his suspicious and discontented subjects with the biggest public extravaganza ever seen in London's Green Park. People had little faith in the peace treaty of Aix-la-Chapelle, signed the previous year between the old enemies.